talked about.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Huell Hauser. Get ready for a learning experience. Now, let's set the stage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Turning into a bunch of self-centered walking dead trash. And we're such zombies, we're such self-centered crap, that we don't even notice hell itself rising up against us. And my very spirit is just absolutely ready at every level to we're under attack, people. Where is the animating contest of liberty? Where is the spirit lifted up against these people?
Okay, I'm just gonna need a little moment to process all of this.
What's the point of thinking?
The only one who understands me is Flavor Flav.
And now,
don't forget, you can check out my thing on MySpace.
Our feature presentation.
That's allowed.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 9th of June.
What's up, you guys?
What's up, you guys?
What's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
All right. Check that off. I feel like we covered that. All right. Let me try another one.
All right.
How's everybody?
Doing really good. How about you, Bean?
Good. All right.
Two.
This is part of my my new tape series I'm putting out on party conversation.
Oh, excellent.
It's good.
On how to be the guy who gets the party started.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Right.
So I feel like I'm doing a good job.
Right.
It is Thursday morning. We do have a big show planned for you today, and I want to start with this story that confuses the living hell out of me. Look, I get that not everybody's into the same stuff, and I get that people get offended, and sometimes I'll look at a story and I'll go, okay, that doesn't bother me, but at least I can see where the people are coming from that are upset about it. I may disagree with them, but at least I understand why they feel the way they do.
Right.
This story baffles me. And I'm hoping that you guys can help me with it. There is a company that has been operating online for some time now called Tykeables. And they are an adult baby store. They cater to adults who like dressing up like babies. All right?
Okay. Mm.
Again, not my thing, but who cares?
Okay.
It's their thing, right?
Right.
They decided, for a number of reasons, to open up a storefront, a retail outlet, on Northwest Highway in Mount Prospect, Illinois, a Chicago suburb. They do 99% of their business online, but the owner says they wanted a location that would make it convenient for a large percentage of their Chicago area customers to make pickups if they wanted to, and to have a place where all of the employees could work together, because the place has a big warehouse, so they can have a little storefront in the front and then have a warehouse in the back for their online business. Now, who would have a problem with a business like this being in their town? There's nothing pornographic about it. They sell bigger than usual toys for kids, like rocking, you know, for adults to use that are kids' toys, like rocking horses, for instance, that
they
are made
for
an
giant
adult.
Big wheels.
They do sell giant big wheels.
Oh, man.
They sell like a giant crib, for instance, if that's what you want.
Not so
big
cool.
Big rattles, stuff like that.
Rattles, yeah.
Okay.
For adults who want to be babies.
Sure.
Okay. So if you walk by that store, you look in there and you go, oh, there's nothing in there for me, and you keep walking.
Oh, I'd go in. There's nothing in there for me, but I'd go in.
We established Big Wheel.
Oh, yeah. I'd get it for Kevin.
Right.
Christmas.
Well, there is a crisis in Mount Prospect, Illinois, with people petitioning and people complaining and people picketing and people going up in front of the city council trying to figure out a way to close this store down. Now, they have already gotten them to make one concession. And by the way, it sounds like the man who owns Tykeables is being very responsive to the community's issues. For instance, he has already frosted the windows because they complained that you could see this giant Lego-like display in the window.
It's not frost.
possibly isn't. Who could explain this to me.
I don't know.
Somebody's
upset.
Where the outrage is.
I can't imagine what people are upset about.
The only thing I can think is a parent's walking by with a kid. Kid sees those Legos and was like, let's go in. And the mom's like, there's nothing for you in there. That's the only thing I can
think. But does that mom then pick it?
mean,
no,
that doesn't make
absolutely
any
not.
Sense.
It, it's, people are afraid of things they don't understand. That we know. It's happened through time.
But even if the kid wanted to go in, what's the worst thing that could happen if the kid goes in?
I don't want to have to explain that to my children.
The kid goes in and he sees a bunch of toys and a bunch of boxes with diapers in it. And there's nothing there for the kid to
those
buy.
Those diapers are really big. Yeah, not for you. Let's go.
Right. Isn't that the same way you explain to your kid, hey, can I go in that store with all the pretty bottles? No, honey, that's a liquor store. That's not for you. That's for adults.
That's how we would explain it.
Isn't that the extent of it?
That's how we would explain it.
I would assume that would be the extent of it, yes. How could anyone be more angry than that?
It's, again, nothing pornographic, nothing sexual at all about it. One neighbor, Greg Suarez, says, it's really weird, especially for this area. When I found out about it, it was just kind of a shock. I didn't know people liked that stuff because everybody thinks that everyone in their town is just like them, like their turn-ons are just like their turn-ons. And if it's weird or I'm uncomfortable with it, it must happen somewhere else.
Of course.
The owner is working with the town to alleviate any concerns and will not allow people under 18. Okay, so there he's taken that away from the kids who want to go in. I think the biggest concerns come from people who don't understand our business and don't know what we do. But there again, even though the people are trying to look for a way to close it down, there's no violation of any kind of code. It's completely legal, straight up business.
Boy, that's weird.
It is, isn't it? Isn't that like a crazy overreaction? Hey, be grateful that somebody wants to rent store space in your town, because there's a lot of places that have a lot of empty store fronts, you know, with no businesses wanting to move in. This sounds like it sounds like a good dude who's running a legal business that does nothing but bring taxes into your city.
But they're bringing a bad element, and I don't want to have to explain it to my kids.
Said one lady on the scene.
I'm telling you.
Did
that's
you say
always
this is in Chicago?
The response.
This is
yeah,
Chicago
that's not a great
area.
Chicago.
Not
that's
a good
someone
Chicago.
That recently moved to town.
Yes,
recently
just
moved. Yeah.
Where that person was from, because
yeah,
that doesn't
you for
sound
asking.
Like Chicago.
That was the motivation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. Good. And since Beer Mug was asking me off there, it is tykables.com. So
right.
Please enjoy.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecho, shall we?
And there was much rejoicing.
All right. I'll take that. Dr. Drew's on the program today like we do on Thursdays.
Yeah, he is.
Jim Rome will be on the show today talking sports.
Jim Rome's got some splaining to do about how you have a series at the NBA Finals, and this happens so often, where every game is a blowout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
Like, how is that possible? These are the two best teams in America, supposedly, at least the best team from each conference in America. How are they not close? How are all the games blowouts? It's weird.
Why does he have splaining to do? Like, it's his fault.
It is.
Well, because he knows a lot more about... Mm-hmm. And why are the Cavaliers so much better when Kevin Love isn't playing is another question somebody needs to answer.
No kidding. All right. Also on the program today, Bean makes his guess.
Yeah.
We also have Bridezillas.
Oof.
Bridezillas are the worst.
Yeah. And we're ramping up to wedding season.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting crazier.
Yeah.
They really are.
What's wedding season? Is it
wedding season? It really starts in June goes through into the fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
a lot of people get married in the summer because they want an outdoor wedding, perhaps where it's going to be nice out.
Okay,
come
all
on,
right.
Kevin.
Sorry, wasn't familiar with that, but okay.
I'm not familiar with it either, but at least I know.
You've heard of June brides, Kevin? That's the expression, June brides. That's why
I've heard of June gloom. Is that the same?
That's me. That's my bride situation.
Oh, I see. Okay. And also, yesterday we played a clip of Barnyard Animals doing a song. There was a lot of interest. A lot of people loved it.
Yeah.
Not everyone loved it. So, some people disliked it a great amount.
I mean, I turned off the show.
Well, yeah. Bean was, I mean, listen.
Okay, we heard it. And we got it. We covered it.
Oh, we didn't
What
cover
is even
it.
Happening?
We didn't cover. There are so many more songs that we will cover today.
Oh. On your podcast?
That we are going to play for you on this radio station, on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Oh, okay.
And there will be great rejoicing.
I don't like it.
You don't like it. The rest of us do, though. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Come on. We're all pals, though, right, guys?
Yeah, we are.
Sure. Best friends.
Let's all have a picnic.
I got two words.
Picnic.
Two words
What's
to say.
Picnics?
Picnics are great, but I don't think I've been asked. Well, I've been asked on a lot of things, but a picnic, never.
Well, we're going to have a picnic.
All right.
Okay.
Rob doesn't seem like the picnic type.
Not at all.
Ugh.
Really?
Pick a Nick.
That's, I'm all about the picnics.
Right? All right.
Anyway, what I was going to say is two words to ensure that you keep listening, because just after 6 o'clock, we present for you Rodney Karaoke. Rodney Karaoke. It's coming up. First, though, time for another look at the our first for the day of the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Forget the carpool karaoke with James Corden. Where's Rodney Karaoke? That's the show I want to watch.
Agreed.
Come on, CBS. Get on it.
I would watch every second of that program twice.
Rodney driving around his monkey mobile and just people sitting next to him and them singing karaoke together.
What's a monkey mobile? Sorry. Do people know what that is?
Rodney.
He loves the monkeys.
Loves the monkeys. And so because he loves them so much, he drives a red Pontiac GTO. 67 GTO, which was the same car that was the monkey mobile on television. Yeah, the monkeys drove around in a similar vehicle.
Right.
There you go.
Thanks.
Ralph, where are you on the monkeys? Seems like something you might like.
He loves the monkeys.
I love the monkeys.
Oh, you do?
Huge monkeys fan.
Because you know then that they're coming out on Blu-ray for the first time later this month.
I'm so excited. Everything's been remastered. It looks great, too. Right. I've seen a little bit of it somewhere.
Didn't you do shows with Davy Jones?
Davy was a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I was a huge monkeys fan.
Come on, Bean. Let me tell you more about a guy you've known for 20 years.
See, we're not
what the
pals.
Hell?
That's why Bean's not coming to the picnic.
Have I already been disinvited from the picnic?
We're all pals. He doesn't know anything about me.
No, what is that?
Allie's basically a stranger, and
right?
She has more information.
Just walked right in off the street.
Right? Hey, Bean's people, speaking of Bean, they're at it.
What have we done?
This flummoxed me. And I can't really wrap my head around it. But they're having a memorial for Muhammad Ali in Louisville, Kentucky tomorrow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they opened the box office at the KFC Yum Center, which is the name of their sports facility there. You heard me.
Yeah.
It's very dignified for Mr. Ali.
Come on down to the KFC Yum Center and say goodbye to Ali. So they opened the box office and 15,000 tickets were gone in less than an hour.
Wow.
People had lined up so early that they opened the box office 2 hours early because they were afraid that there may be some issues with the crowd.
Yummy.
15,000 tickets in less than an hour were gone. This is, by the way, to go into a place and say goodbye to a guy that you liked but didn't really know all that much. That seems like, I don't know. I just can't. I would never do that.
That is shocking.
Really?
I wouldn't either. No.
But is this the same venue where Bill Clinton is speaking and others? Is this the eulogies and everything, or is that not till the next day?
That's going to be, I think, a
separate event.
Separate event.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what's this for? What happens in this in the Yum Center?
I'm not sure.
Yum Center.
Yummy.
But would you ever go to? Would you go out of your way like this to go to a memorial for someone you didn't know?
I would not. No.
I think there are a lot of people who go to where the celebrity is being put down, don't you?
Well, think of the Michael Jackson one at Staples Center.
I thought he was already dead.
He's gone, Bean.
I instantly regretted that choice of words.
I would go see that. If they were going to put a celebrity down, I would like to go see the celebrity,
very different
celebrity
thing.
Death panel, if that's an option, yeah, that I'm attending. But
I'm not surprised by this, particularly.
Of course not. I told it. I said everybody, it's your people.
Yep,
right, but particularly in his hometown, where he obviously has many, 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 many fans, they want an opportunity to say goodbye. For the same reason a lot of people showed up at the Muhammad Ali Center over the weekend to leave flowers and take pictures
you
and whatnot.
You can say goodbye from your house just as easily as you can from the Yum Center. It's the same thing. Same distance.
See, no Yum, though.
There is no Yum in your house. That's true.
But, Ralph, when stars die, don't you always see a makeshift memorial pop up on their star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame? It's the same thing. Same sentiment.
Puzzles me too.
Who are those people? Is Russ Christian?
The death fans. I don't know where the death fans come from. Mm. Yeah, just saying. We have to agree or disagree on this one. Meanwhile, people are trying to cash in already on the late champ. One of his missing passports. Apparently, Muhammad Ali lost his passport at some point in the past few years. Has just hit the auction block on eBay. Features stamps from London, Japan, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and more. So someone is trying to cash in on his passport, which I guess somebody found and said, oh, I'm not going to turn this in. It's Muhammad Ali's. That's cool. And now they're selling it. So there you go.
I believe our little friend Rodney, as just discussed, I think he's got Elvis Presley's driver's license.
He does. That's true.
That's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great item.
He's not using it anymore, Elvis, right?
True.
Right? So it's not a big deal.
And you know what the coolest thing about Elvis's driver's license is? Is how many people have a driver's license where they live on a street named after them. His address of Graceland is on Elvis Presley Boulevard.
That is cool.
That is cool.
Define cool.
Come on. If you lived on Kevin Ryder Road, that'd be awesome, right?
Not
where's
really.
Where's the outrage there?
I don't think it... Okay.
All right. That's
I don't feel like that would be great.
That's like a
a cool
thing. That's not really doesn't reach cool. It reaches And by the way, they're re-releasing Ali, the biopic, to make a couple extra bucks as well. The film celebrating his life, starring Will Smith, is being put back in theaters in limited release this weekend. So, if you'd like to check that out on the big screen, you can see that.
I bet that holds up. I bet that movie's still good.
Yeah,
sure.
Will Smith received an Oscar nomination for his work in that. And reportedly, he will be a pallbearer at Ali's actual funeral in Louisville, Kentucky. They were very close towards the end. So. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 55 years old today. Actor Johnny Depp turns 53. Matt Bellamy, Muse singer and guitarist, is 38. Natalie Portman's 35. And actress Mae Whitman celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat. Thinking too much. I've been thinking too
much. Help me. Hey!
How about a moratorium on the haze? How about just take a breath? Let's maybe not.
Pete hates the haze.
No more haze.
What about an ass full of the haze? That's all. Well,
Chip's
like
a specialist.
I feel like she's lost the thread, is what I feel like. Okay. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Keep on listening for your chance to win tickets for Weezer and Panic at the Disco at Irvine Meadows. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. I love this story out of Vacaville, by the way. Look, who doesn't love Red Bull? Everybody loves Red Bull, right?
Right.
And God bless Red Bull, who sponsored the soundstage right down the hall. So we all are on board with the Red Bull.
Love Red Bull.
Isn't there a limit to how – I'm serious about this. No matter how great it is, and it's great. Isn't there a limit to how much Red Bull you need?
Well, there's a limit on everything, no matter how good it is. Mm-hmm. If you eat too much of anything good, it's not good for you.
Four men and a juvenile were arrested in Vacaville for allegedly stealing $4,700 worth of Red Bull energy drinks. Wow. So I'm picturing these guys all going into this convenience store, grocery store. They went to a local grocery store there and wheeled it out in carts, okay? I'm picturing them going, all right, how much do we need? I don't know, a couple of cases. Nah, let's fill up a cart. All right, let's fill up a cart. You know what? Let's go back in and let's fill up another cart. At some point, you feel like somebody would say, we're not going to live long enough to drink this much Red Bull, right?
Yeah, or let's find something else. As well.
Exactly. Right. My favorite part of the story, the group sped out of the parking lot, running past a stop sign and a red light. Well, I wonder why. I wonder why they were all hopped up and driving fast. Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave, who could we talk to? And I believe we have Mr. Ronnie Yarbrough on the phone right now. Ronnie is one of those, an Oakland man, who was booked after the theft. Ronnie, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
This is a legend, okay? It's a legend. I did this. I didn't know you were doing it. I don't know why anybody's saying it. It's a legend.
You were arrested for burglary, possession of stolen...
Yeah, listen, I'm guilty, okay? So it doesn't seem I'm guilty. I didn't do anything. I didn't drink any Red Bull. I didn't steal any Red Bull. What did anybody say to me about this?
What?
So, can you answer my question as to why you and your friends...
I'm trying to answer your question. I didn't answer your question. I haven't even heard your question yet. You want me to answer a question I haven't heard yet?
Okay, maybe I need to speak faster to keep up with the conversation. Why did you guys steal so much Red Bull?
No. You don't.
I don't. Red Bull. Why is that? I stole Red Bull. Why did I steal Red Bull? I love Red Bull, but I wouldn't steal it. I would just pay for it if I wanted a Red Bull.
What are you drinking right now, sir?
Another one.
I'm just drinking something else. It's not Red Bull.
Oh, dear.
What is it?
It's Green Dog.
Oh, see.
Green Dog.
Red Bull and just made it a different animal.
I see. All right, so you claim you are innocent of these charges.
I'm innocent. I wouldn't steal Red Bull. Why would I do that? I would go in there and I would be a responsible citizen. I would just pay for the Red Bull and I would take the Red Bull and I put it on. Plus, there's no better on Red Bull. You know, I was going to steal Red Bull. Why do I steal so much Red Bull? I don't even drink that much Red Bull.
You know, maybe not.
I love Red Bull.
All right. What about the police who followed you, saw you running the lights, pulled over the van, and saw that the back of the van was filled with $5,000 worth of Red Bull?
That wasn't my stuff. That was somebody else's stuff. I was just holding it for a friend. I don't know. When they're coming by, when they're even looking at my battle van before anyway, I didn't even do anything. They would look at the back of the van. Look at the back of the van. You want to look at the back of the van? God, look at the back of the van. But you know, if they find anything in there, it's not me. I didn't do anything because it's not me. It's my friend of mine. He said, hey, when you take my van for a ride?
I don't think you had it down. You're positive you should keep.
I have wings!
And now, a moment with Bean.
But in the spirit of reciprocity.
One more.
You say it.
No, one more. Reciprocity?
Yes, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm not that big of a Bean fan.
Okay, right. That's fine. Reciprocity, guys.
Oh, yeah, no.
What?
No.
I thought I beat it. Reciprocity. There you go. Yep. Reciprocity. That's the word. Boy, I thought I'd figure that one out, but no. All right. It is Thursday morning. It's 6:51. Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's new? What's going on?
You know, there's a longstanding rule in the theater that if you have a preview for a show, any reputable newspaper will hold its review back until opening night.
Oh, okay.
It's just the way it's done.
Okay.
You don't review a preview because they're still working on the show and they're holding, you know, they're fine tuning and stuff. So it's just not fair to release.
It's not a finished
review.
Product yet.
Right.
All right.
So you can imagine, you would think producers would be upset in London when two London newspapers broke that longstanding rule and started running comments about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
They just couldn't wait, could they?
Which had its first preview on Tuesday. Both the Mirror and the Telegraph ran reviews after the preview, and that would usually make producers very upset, but not in this case because both reviews were spectacular.
Mm, sweet.
The Mirror says about the play, spells and hexes combined with laughs and drama means Harry Potter and the Cursed Child will be every bit the hit everyone expects. Any fears that the world of Hogwarts on stage would struggle to compete with the multi-million-dollar special effects on film were quickly kicked into touch. I don't know what that means. It must be a British phrase, but I love it. I'm going to use it all the time. I can't wait to kick all kinds of people into touch. Apparently, the play takes place 19 years after the books and movies leave off, so Harry is working at the Ministry of Magic, and his youngest son is working his way into the world of wizardry. And Hermione and Ron are married, and they have a daughter. And part two had its first preview last night, but the official opening won't be until July 30th. But people are already saying it's awesome.
It's fantastic.
All right.
Look, a lot of the world is starved for new Harry Potter stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ralph, I looked it up. Kicked into touch, it's a rugby term to kick the ball out of the playing area and into the touch. Do we know what the touch is?
I know what the touch is.
Oh, nope. Ralph.
Nope. It must be part of the field, I guess.
Oh, no. He's doing worse.
Whoa. That's not at all what anyone meant
right there. I'm about to kick you in it.
Please do.
I got the touch.
That's a companion move to the thumb that we're so familiar with.
The touch and the thumb.
Has Allie seen the thumb, right?
Oh, she's seen it.
I have seen it all.
Like 10 times this week.
Okay.
It's like a bad thing, Kevin.
We're thumb heavy.
And pound foolish. Tila Tequila's at it again. She's the best.
Wait, she's still Jesus or not?
Sure.
She's still Jesus. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
She's also, you know, a hardcore Trump supporter.
Sure.
She's getting a little, she's getting kicked to the touch over something she posted on social media this week. Where she posted, ain't nothing better than riding around Texas in my cowboy boots to hunt down these damn illegals. Hashtag send them back.
Oh, my God.
She's the best.
I wish that was actually happening. Can you imagine her trying to...
So people are very upset with her.
Back.
And Donald Trump has people upset with him as well. Mostly being Queen. The band Queen. He celebrated his victories in the last round of Republican primaries on Tuesday by walking on stage to Queen's We Are the Champions. Well, guitarist Brian May was not at all pleased. When will Donald Trump learn he can't use any popular music by anyone?
I feel like they all get away with it because they just do it once and they get the cease and desist and no one cares.
And they got their look for, they got their use campaign to
well, it happens so much they can't possibly care.
I mean, look at poor Jonah Ryan battling with Tom Petty every week.
That's right. He won't back down.
No, he won't.
I can confirm that permission to use the track was neither sought nor given. Brian May, guitarist for Queen, said, "I will make sure we take what steps we can to disassociate ourselves from Donald Trump's unsavory campaign." They'll probably kick him to the touch, right? That's what I'm guessing.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
And Ed Sheeran is a lying liar who lies and a thief and a racist and a farter.
And looks like a little hobbit.
Right, and a hobbit.
And what, what's going on with him?
Ginger gnome.
He's adorable.
He's a ginger gnome.
He's adorable.
Who should be squashed underfoot.
I don't think
and
so.
Kicked into touch.
I don't think any of those
I'm going to keep
things.
Using it until I accidentally run across the right way to use it.
But none of us will know.
Ed Sheeran is being sued by two California songwriters.
Oh.
Martin Harrington and Tom Leonard claim their song, Amazing, which was recorded in 2010 by X Factor UK winner Matt Cardle in 2012, was ripped off for Ed's mega-hit Photograph.
I'm sick of your ginger nonsense.
The lawsuit says that the chorus sections of both songs have 39 identical notes. The notes are the same pitch and tempo. They're placed in the same way. They said the slower section of the song is identical. The upbeat section of the song is identical. Hmm. And Martin and Tom being represented by Richard Bush. He is the guy who won the Blurred Lines lawsuit from Marvin Gaye's estate.
He knows what he's doing.
This guy's got something on the ball.
His name is Dick Bush. That is.
Why do you have to go
something.
There? Why do you have to work blue?
Kick him right to the touch.
We're trying to
right.
Just
we're trying to keep a classy show here.
I apologize.
We are?
Yes. They want $20 million in damages. Will they get it? It's time for You Be the Judge. This is
we were not prepared.
Much.
I'm sorry.
I did not hear
I know
that
we
go.
Weren't yeah. ready. That's my bad. Like,
it's time go. For You Be the Judge. We're going to play a little
You got to turn it off.
What?
Yeah. Turn it off.
Can we turn it off now?
What? Okay.
It's time for You Be the Judge.
All right, what are we hearing first?
We're going to hear a little Ed Sheeran first, his song Photograph, okay. And then we're going to hear a little bit of Martin and Tom's song Amazing, side by side. See what you think.
So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home.
Okay, that's right. Ed. Here's Martin and Tom's song.
How did you find me? You came out of nowhere like lightning. It's kind of amazing how you found me through all the noise somehow.
What do you think?
Interesting.
I mean, similar.
Coincidence.
I think there are, what are there, 12 chords or whatever there are, you know? I mean, you're rearranging the same notes in every song ever made. There are going to be some that are going to end up sounding similar to each other. And to me, I don't hear that and go rip off. I hear that and go, it does sound like that. But I would need to know more, I think, to make a definitive ruling.
I think Snow Patrol should sue both of them, is what I think.
Let's get all bands
three-way lawsuit.
They sound the same to get in.
That's a great point, Allie. They both do sound like Snow Patrol songs.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We'll see. We'll follow that case closely.
So our ruling is Snow Patrol should sue as well.
I don't believe. I think you're just muddying the legal waters with that sort of shenanigans.
My bad.
What do you
and
think,
I won't
stand for it in my courtroom?
You like? What do you think?
Guilty.
Really?
Ginger
really?
Gnome. Oh, he's
I like him.
He's a thieving ginger gnome.
So much.
Farter and a racist.
He is none of those. He might have
headed fire crotch. He's a genetic mistake.
Yes. Evil. As Jiminy Glick said this week on the Maya and Marty show, that you really shouldn't hate anyone except for redheads.
No, so you don't think hate. You shouldn't say the word hate. That's too strong. But not in the case of redheads.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 55. Johnny Depp turns 53 today. Matt Bellamy from Muse, 38. Natalie Portman's 35. And Mae Whitman celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Talk to Jim Rome at 8 o'clock this morning like we do every Thursday. He's got to help us get Maria Sharapova back into tennis, right? I don't want to go 2 years without her playing tennis, right?
Plus, the Warriors blow, right?
Well,
right?
Must suck to be a fan of Golden State right now, I'll tell you that.
Well, that would suck.
They're nothing. Anyway, Jim Rome at 8. Dr. Drew joins us at 9. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
There are things that I like better than Bean. There mm-hmm. are things that Bean likes better than I do.
Sure.
I believe this is one of mine. I believe mm-hmm. Bean is not thrilled with it.
Okay.
I don't know why this annoys me so much.
I don't either. Because it's only great.
I don't think it's great, but it, something about it annoys me, and I'm the guy who loves, and please don't take this clip of
escape out of context.
I'm the guy who loves barnyard animals. All right, I say. I do. I mean, I'm a guy who's had cows, had sheep, had pigs, had doggies, and by had, I mean owned. And by owned, I don't mean with them. I don't mean what you're thinking. But the point is,
you're not helping yourself.
What's their first rule is when you're in a hole, stop digging.
Yep.
Did Bean own that donkey?
Yeah.
The other day?
Oh man. I don't know why this annoys me so much. But the website Insane, or the YouTube channel, I should say, Insane Cherry, has done quite a few of these where they have taken the sounds of barnyard animals and edited them together to make songs.
Now, yesterday, Ralph brought in White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. And, mm-hmm. But he also told us that they did a bunch of other songs, so we thought that we would play some highlights mm-hmm. of some of these other songs, all done by animals.
Because just because you've heard the joke once doesn't mean you don't want to hear it a second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth
time, wet blanket, right? You just sit back. So this is White Stripes' Seven Nation Army. I will say, to Bean's point, they do put up the whole song.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily needed.
Like, okay. Maybe we've heard enough of Seven Nation Army by Barnyard Animals.
Right. What about Queen, We Will Rock You?
Oh, I need it.
What about that? Right? Right?
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
And you know the stomp, stomp, clap? Uh-huh. It's a cat running into a window, which that makes me happy as well.
See, I think the video...
Because cats blow.
Okay.
You think the video helps?
I think the video absolutely helps. Because then you can, when you listen to it later, as Kevin has many times, you visualize those animals.
Yes, and it's very funny.
Absolutely.
How about Linkin Park, Numb?
Sure.
Okay, but again, I have to ask. Tell me again why we need a goat singing a Linkin Park song? I mean, why is that a thing?
Why don't we?
Yeah, you just answered your own question.
I don't have a goat to sing in Linkin Park-shaped hole in my heart like you do, I guess.
Well, I do, and now it's filled. That's the best thing you've ever heard.
It's not.
Should I play that one again?
Okay. I think we got it. We got it.
All right. How about System of a Down? You want to hear some System of a Down?
Yeah.
Why
yes,
the hell
you
not.
Do.
Animal is that?
Right. Sounds like a bad day in the barnyard to me, man.
Oof.
By the way, again, the YouTube channel is called Insane Cherry if you want to follow along and play the home game.
You're going to want to watch AWOL Nation Sale.
Mm-hmm. What poor animal is coerced into singing Sale?
Why do we need to watch it, Kevin?
Well, you know how the song goes, bah, da, na, 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 na. You know how it does that?
Right.
Uh-huh. The bah is a deer farting.
Okay. All right.
Oh. and I'm going to be the one, and I'm the guy that likes this. I'm going to be the one to tell you not to watch that one through the end. You do not want to see what happens at the end.
Is there
a surprise?
I'm just saying that a hippopotamus is doing some work.
Oh.
It's putting in some work. And you may not want to see that. But otherwise,
USA!
Right?
USA!
Right?
Sure, why not?
Right?
USA!
As we know, election years are Kevin's favorite. Kevin can't get enough of it when there's lots of politics on his TV.
Ugh.
And we are going to elect a new president in a few months here, and it's either going to be a President Clinton or it's going to be a President Trump. And I thought this was fascinating that the editors over at BuzzFeed put together their list of the best fictional presidents of all time. The best fictional presidents of all time. That's the topic of this edition of Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Brr. Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Brr. Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes us guess.
Yes.
Brr. You know the most fun part of this game for me is watching Allie after the topic is announced? Like, she jumps down and grabs a piece of paper and starts furiously writing like she's in Final Jeopardy. She's like jotting all stuff down. You know, there's no cash prizes or anything for this, right, Allie? You know? We're just playing a little game out loud.
Playing for pride here, Allie.
She's making notes and double-checking and cross-referencing. She's got pie charts and graphs going over there. What's with all the writing?
Nothing.
It's not helping. I know that.
It really isn't.
It's a lot of work
really
for no
isn't.
Reason.
The Riddler?
What about the blank look on Kevin's face
how
when he struggles to think if he can come up with one? What about
here's,
that? That's
here's
always
my
fun.
Question, though. Yes. We can just say the show. We don't have to say the president's name, right?
Here's what I'm looking for. All right, clarifying now. Best fictional presidents of all time. These are movies and television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, these are fictional presidents. So in other words, you can't say Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln or Paul Giamatti in John Adams. You know, we're talking
right.
about fictional president. Okay.
But I think Allie's saying, do you have to know the actual
you don't need
president's
the president's
name.
Okay. Just the actor and the movie is all we're looking for. The actor and the movie, best fictional presidents of all time. Kevin, you have the honorary number one slot. What's your guess, please?
President Selina Meyer.
Oof, good.
That is a fantastic guess that I'm going to have to tell you is not on this list.
And I'll
tell you why.
Stupid.
I'll tell you why. Because this list came out last year. So I'm going to say maybe she wasn't president then.
She was.
Bogus.
It doesn't matter.
Bogus. I'm sorry.
I would have to say President Bartlett from The West Wing.
Yes, President Bartlett is number three on their list of the best fictional presidents of all time. Yes.
Allie's revising her list. She's making duplicates.
That's
and
the only one she had.
And by the way, I am outraged that he is not number one.
I am too, Bean. I'm with you.
So. That's certainly something to be outraged about.
I'm going to write a strongly worded
letter. I want a Jed Bartlett stamp.
Allie McKay.
Kevin Spacey, House of Cards.
Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, not on the list here. I'm sorry to say.
F this list.
Start writing other things down.
I can't. They're all taken. Those were my three.
Here's mine. You ready?
Yeah.
Dave.
Dave is number eight on the list. But who's the actor? Who's the actor, Kevin?
Really? Who cares? Yeah. I just came up with Dave.
Actor and movie.
Actor and movie.
Is what we're looking for.
Actor and movie, please.
The guy that plays Dave in that movie.
I think if we just say the show or the movie.
I agree with Allie.
Do you think?
Yeah, yeah, she's right.
Since it's not your game, whatever rules you make up are fine.
No, that's the only way I get credit.
Let's give it to Kevin.
Yes.
I can understand why he wouldn't have come up with Kevin Kline,
yeah,
the actor
he possibly
played.
Know that name?
I don't know why he would know that, but okay. Wait, you got a point there. Ralph Graber, please.
I would have to go with Bill Pullman from Independence Day.
Number four. Excellent guess there. Yeah. Well done. Thank you. Allie?
I want to go with the African-American gentleman on 24.
Is that all you need to say at this point?
Yes,
we're no
I
longer
it
looking
is.
For actors? Yes, Dennis Haysbert is on the list.
Dennis
he is at
Haysbert.
Number five.
He is great.
Well done. He was a great president, yes.
Terry Crews from Idiocracy.
Kevin, great guess. Just outside the top 10 at number 11. So I'm sorry you don't get a point, but that was well done, sir.
Thank you. I came up with that on my own without any help from Chip.
Even though Chip wrote it down for you?
Right.
She read your mind and wrote down what you were thinking?
Right, but I was thinking it before she wrote
it. Of course
you
were. All right, yeah. So Martin Sheen, number three, Bill Pullman, number four, Dennis Haysbert, number five, Kevin Kline, number eight. That's where we're at, still trying to fill in the top 10 best fictional presidents of all time.
Yeah, now this is kind of a reach, but it's one of my personal favorites. Donald Pleasance in Escape from New York.
I'm sorry, did not make their top 25. Yeah. But wow,
so would
pull.
That be the worst guess so far?
Good pull on remembering that role in that film, though.
I love that president.
Alan McKay? There's still some big ones on the board, including number one and number two.
Read the things that you wrote. Read those.
Yeah, I wrote.
Go through your paperwork there.
Black Eye 24, Veep, House of Cards, and West Wing.
Oh, okay.
There was like a Disney movie, I remember, and there was a president. He was so
funny. You can't give a company. You can't just say Disney.
And you know what? I think it was Colin Firth, and I think he was like a king. So that's not right.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I got one.
I'm out.
You're out. You pass.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
Right. Passing.
I'm sorry.
KRX Kevin?
Harrison Ford, Air Force One.
Number one.
Get off my plane.
Writing those
Get
down.
Off my plane.
What have become team
right? Kevin
has
gotten one.
How dare you? Well done, Kevin. Yeah. Number one
Thank
on
you.
The list.
Thank you, everybody. I accept your
Is
applause.
Kevin in the lead right now?
Chip is tied with Ralph.
Let's just bypass Kevin. Let's just have Chip
Come on,
play.
Now.
You're just a mouthpiece.
All right, Ralph, we got number two.
And a terrible one at that.
6, 7, 9, and 10, all still in the game.
How about Michael Douglas from American President?
Ladies and gentlemen, number nine on the list. Well done.
That's a good movie.
All right, Alan McKay. Still out?
Yeah. Not good.
Chip?
What do you say, Chip?
Morgan Freeman from Olympus Has Fallen.
Number two, ladies and gentlemen.
Chip in the lead.
Do we have anything left?
Morgan Freeman, Deep Impact, by the way, is where they have the president here. No, Morgan Freeman, Deep Impact. Is that what she said?
Yes.
No, she said Olympus Has Fallen.
It's a Deep Impact. I'm sorry.
Same guy.
Morgan Freeman, Olympus Has Fallen. That was Chiseled McRockface. Who's the handsome guy from Aaron Brockovich? Aaron Eckhart. He was the
what
president.
What the hell is Chip talking about? Chip, you're an idiot. All right. I don't even know where we are in the score anymore. Do we have a winner?
I think I'm ahead.
You are. You actually, Chip has three, Ralph has two, I have one.
Ralph, you want to take one more stab and then we'll do the reveal here.
How many left do we have on the opening?
Well, since apparently I gave away Morgan Freeman at number two, we still have number six, number seven, and number 10 are all available.
Wow. Boy, really?
Mm. Wait, what was the Morgan Freeman movie?
Deep Impact.
Okay.
Deep Impact.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, Mars Attacks.
Unbelievable. Number 10, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Wow. Great call.
That was a terrible movie.
But he's great in that.
He is maybe, but that was a terrible movie.
All right. So who's our winner?
Well, I haven't gone.
You don't have any. You've been out since Tuesday.
You're behind by like 12.
What was that movie where Halle Berry was in it? Was that
Catwoman?
No. And the guy
What
was
about that other movie?
The guy
that dated Madonna, the older gentleman, but now he's been married to the same
We're
woman forever.
We're not going to give you credit for whatever this is.
But he... Stop
listing celebrities and relationships, hoping you'll stumble into a movie.
Bull
Durham?
Oh, no.
I know. You're talking about Bullworth is what you're talking about.
Bullworth!
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
He was a congressman.
He was not a president.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, here's the...
Was Peter Sellers a president?
Okay, shut up! Number one, Harrison Ford, Air Force One. Number two, Morgan Freeman, Deep Impact. Number three, Martin Sheen, The West Wing. Number four, Bill Pullman, Independence Day. Five, Dennis Haysbert, 24. All right, number six, John Travolta in Primary Colors on their list.
That's Clinton.
That Clinton-esque movie, but he was a fictional
Clinton.
President.
It's so Clinton.
Number seven, Kevin, you should have got this one. Gene Hackman in Welcome to Mooseport, ladies and gentlemen. Number seven on the list. Starring your good friend Ray Romano.
Talk about awful movies.
Kevin Kline, number eight in Dave. Michael Douglas, number nine in The American President. And Jack Nicholson, number 10 in Mars Attacks. So there you go. The best fictional presidents of all time. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Look, no one works harder than Dave Grohl. I get that he deserves some time off, live a life, have a family. But I don't like the non-Foo Fighters times at all. I don't like living in a world where there's no Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters stuff happening all the time that we can be a part of. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Okay. Donald Trump back in the news, you guys, this time because he's our next president, duh, but also because the speech that he gave the other night when he won the latest five states that were up for grabs. A lot of people were saying, wow, he really is starting to look presidential. Wow, he's starting to pivot to a general election. And wow, is that Donald Trump using a teleprompter? What? Isn't he the guy who blasted all of the Republicans that he was running against for using teleprompters? He continuously blasts Hillary Clinton for using a teleprompter, saying that, you know, you shouldn't be – at one point he said you shouldn't even be allowed to use a teleprompter because you find out what you're getting. He said, I want to outlaw teleprompters at one point, he said.
Okay, so what's changed?
By the way, I want to outlaw teleprompters. I love that that's a thing that he said.
That's rule one that he's going to put into effect.
He said he thinks you don't get a true representation of what the person who's asking for your vote is really all about. You miss out on the nuances of that person, of the off-the-cuff remarks, of them just ad-libbing. And he says that's a better representation of the person who's asking for your vote. So don't use teleprompters. But now he's using teleprompters. So we wanted to find out. Let's do the Trump date and see what's going on with Mr. Donald Trump.
He's the guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Mr. Trump has always been very generous with his time here on the Kevin Minch Show. Let's find out what's changed, why he's now a yes on teleprompters. Hi, Mr. Trump. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It is a pleasure to be here on your blank show, radio show.
Are you reading a teleprompter just to have a phone conversation?
Skip on down.
You're not... This isn't a speech.
What a great day in America when people can vote and pick who they want to have for their president.
Okay.
Am I right? It's a great country.
Careful.
Great country to
be
the president of?
Be a part of.
Be a rich white man in?
I think everyone in America should be represented by the person they choose to vote for.
Okay. Can you throw that away for just a moment so we can just have a conversation about what has changed so much? Why are you now using a teleprompter where you were blasting other candidates for doing the same thing?
I'm not.
You're not using a teleprompter?
You're going too fast. Slow it down.
What?
Not using a teleprompter. I am... just showing my true presidential nature, which is very thoughtful and, what's that word? Articulate.
Articulate, right. Okay, I feel like this is less the real you than we were getting before, though. Don't you want us to know the real Donald Trump if you're asking for our vote?
Some people say... that we should outlaw teleprompters.
Yes, you said that. That was you.
I would say to those people, if we outlaw teleprompters, only outlaws will have teleprompters.
That doesn't make any sense. outlaws don't need teleprompters.
No, that's a great point.
We need to have America feel they can protect the things they say by having teleprompters in the safety of their own home.
Okay, so everybody should have one?
Abroad.
Only broads should have
them? Even abroad can use one.
I see. All right. Well, okay. I think I need a teleprompter.
Sounds like you could use one, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
Yeah.
Jim Rome.
Go Ducks.
Joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with the show Biz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Heard you guys talking to the soon-to-be president of the United States, Donald Trump, moments ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Although I will enjoy him in the White House, as we all will.
Sure.
Of course.
I'll miss him on my television with Celebrity Apprentice. Mm. One of the great shows ever.
The best show ever, according to Mr. Trump.
Greatest show.
Highest rated reality show in history.
In the history of NBC
ever. Begged
him
to come back.
I know, but he couldn't.
Begged him.
He's got a country to run.
Right.
So he could probably do both.
Arnold Schwarzenegger knows taking over.
Right.
As the new boss.
And is that going to go well?
Yes.
Okay.
Paul Taleggi, who is the president of NBC's reality television division, said that they will no longer be using the phrase, you're fired, on that show. That was Donald's thing.
Okay.
He said Arnold Schwarzenegger will be saying something else. But we don't know what it's going to be. We've shot multiple different endings. It could be any number of a series of catchphrases. We haven't really decided on which one. Shut up! Stop telling me it's not you've been terminated. Stop pretending.
I was going to say it has to be one of his movies.
That's what's going to be.
Yeah. You've been terminated.
Come on! How's it not going to be that? And he also says, you know, they're moving it from New York to California. So where legendarily, classically, when someone was fired by Donald Trump, they'd have to get in that stretch limo and drive down Park Avenue and think to themselves and say, yes, things didn't go. I should have sold more hot dogs in that event or whatever. They would have some sort of bogus exit interview.
Right.
Right.
They said in this case, Arnold's going to have a different mode of transportation for the people to leave the game. Uh-huh. And it will not be a limo. Uh-huh. And they teased it could, in fact, be some sort of mode of transportation that uses whirling blades for it to lift off.
A drone?
No.
Oh.
Yes, they're going to be carried away by drones.
That's awesome if that's true. Great.
I'm thinking helicopter.
Oh, helicopter. Okay, helicopter, yeah. Sure.
So does that mean, is there any way we're not going to hear, get to the chopper? Is there any way that's not going to happen?
We know the whole show before.
We know the whole show, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Agreed.
So, anyway, I'm still looking forward to it. Have you seen the pictures?
No.
The posters? It's like, for no reason, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger on the back of a white stallion and rearing up. It's like, if he doesn't ride around on the show on a white horse, I'm going to call foul.
Well, when you think
about the advertising department.
When you think about him riding that horse.
Sure, all the classic westerns he did.
Ralph, if you have it in front of you, can you refresh my memory on who are the awesome contestants for Celebrity Apprentice? Do we remember any of them?
I don't have it here, sorry.
Matt Iceman from American Ninja Warrior.
Okay. Are there stars, though? Never. I want to know where my Gary Busey is. Where my Gary Busey is. That's what I want.
Layla Ali.
Okay.
How many times are you going to say Layla Ali?
Carrie Keegan.
How do you remember these people?
This is literally off the top of her. She has to write down fictional presidents, but the cast members of the new Celebrity Apprentice she has memorized.
Who's Carrie Keegan?
Boy George, I believe.
Oh, boy. Okay, now we're talking.
I'm thinking of all the pictures.
Four people with computers in front of you? Why doesn't somebody look at the F up?
Hold on.
I have been told by Christine, Layla Ali, Snooki, Boy George,
right?
John Lovitz.
Sure.
Will be on the show.
That's the ticket.
Vince Neil will be on the show.
I'm not a good businessman.
Eric Dickerson, also. Wow, okay.
My
all right.
Comedy club went under.
I'm in.
Acting, thank you. Not a good businessman.
Have you seen the photos online of J.K. Simmons?
Oh my God!
Him working out at Gold's Gym.
It looks fake.
It does look fake. It looks photoshopped, but it's not. He is he's beefing up for his role in the Justice League movie. He's going to be starring in the Justice League movie. So the 61-year-old actor is getting into tip-top shape. He's been working out with Aaron Williamson, legendary trainer of the stars who works with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and others. And he's getting yoked and in shape and massive. Here's the problem. He's playing Commissioner Gordon. I don't think anyone has told him what role he's playing in the Justice League yet. My fear is his agent said, yeah, you're in the new Justice League movie. He's like, all right.
I got a bull cut.
I'd be a superhero. And we don't have the heart to tell him he's Commissioner Gordon. He's going to be wearing a trench coat.
Very confused by why Commissioner Gordon needs to be so buff.
I don't understand it at all, but
real veiny.
Yeah, right? Like this.
Oof. All right, not like that, Ralph.
Ralph has the worst hand motions.
Yeah, people are always like, why don't you guys broadcast live? Why can't we see what you're doing in there? Because Ralph.
Because Ralph. We'd be outlawed.
That's why.
In several countries.
Ralph would scar your children if they had one look at a showbiz beat.
Speaking of scarring children, there's a Brewfest this weekend in Santa Anita. I don't know what the connection is.
Not sure either.
It's sort of a bad segue.
Children can't get in, but...
You got to be 21 years of age or older to attend this party. It's always a good time at the infield there at Santa Anita Racetrack. It is this Saturday, $5 to get in. What a bargain. Infield opens at 11 a.m. There's about 40 different breweries that you can choose from. There's gambling, of course, wagering on the ponies. There's a concert. with an 80s tribute band called Knight Rider. It's going to be quite the event. You can park for free if you go to Gate 6 there at Santa Anita. It is a great time. 11 a.m., the infield opens. The first race goes off at noon. Striker, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, Lightning, Super Steve, Chip will all be there to entertain you as well. So go and check out the Santa Anita K-Rock Brew Fest.
That is Saturday. Classic.
And just to give you a little incentive, why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a four-pack of VIP backstage tickets, which include a VIP entrance to the concert and to the beer garden. You get two drink tickets, racing program, tip sheet, VIP areas for wagering and to hang backstage. So give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you too, Doto. First caller through gets that four-pack of VIP tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays. Johnny Depp is 53 years old today. Michael J. Fox turns 55. Matt Bellamy is 30. No.
Yeah.
That's the Bellamy what? Brothers.
Oh,
it's a
I'm
different.
Sorry. Confusing.
A Muse singer and guitarist Matt Bellamy is 38. You don't get
no.
to laugh at that.
No.
Even Allie's not laughing at that.
Awful.
And she gives you all kinds of pity laughs.
He never laughs, except for at his worst stuff.
He is his own best audience.
Yes. But not the good stuff. Not when he says something funny. When he says something not
it
funny, it kills
to be
him.
The worst
yes.
stuff?
But it's so dumb because
right.
you're talking about Muse,
right.
the Bellamy Brothers, from 50
yeah,
years ago.
Hey, we get it.
Okay.
Mae Whitman's 28 years old. And actress Natalie Portman's 35.
I love her so much from Saturday Night Live. Remember this?
We're sitting here today with film star Natalie Portman.
Hello.
So, Natalie, what's a day in the life of Natalie Portman like?
Do you really want to know?
Please, tell us.
I don't sleep, motherfucker, off that yak and that Durbin. Doing 120, getting hit while I'm swerving.
Damn, Natalie, you a crazy chick.
You shut the up and suck my I'm busting dudes' mouths like gushes, motherfucker. Roll up on NBC Inspector, now Jeff Tucker.
What you want, Natalie?
To drink and fight.
What you need, Natalie?
To f*** all night.
Natalie Portman.
I mean, really.
Fantastic.
Delicate young flower. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Got to warn you guys, this could be a tight segment because Jim Rome is coming in hot today with his Thursday weekly visit about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jim Rome at jimrome.com. How are you, sir?
Y'all trying to cut me off already?
No, not at all.
What's
I'm
up, fam?
You're on fire today, Jim. I'm
What's
excited
up, fam?
To have you on. Well, I want to start with, we got a bunch of ground to cover. We have to start with, now we got ourselves a series. We were discussing earlier, how is it you can have two teams as good as the Warriors and the Cavs are, yet have every game be a blowout? What's happening?
Great question, but whatever you do, do not tell me now we have a series. Do not tell me now we have a series because we don't. Because it's not a series. If Cleveland goes back to Oakland down 3-1, then a 5-game loss is not a series. So what this tells us is it's not going to be a sweep. You had the Cavs. They were a desperate, bitter team that had to listen to how they were the biggest chokes and the biggest chumps ever before coming out and punching Golden State in the face last night. And that'll happen when you step into the ring and you're overconfident and you have your hands down and they got clocked. It's like the only people on the entire planet who didn't know that Cleveland was going to come out like that were the Warriors. I have no idea what they were thinking, but whatever you do, do not tell me it's a series because it's still not that. It's just not going to be a sweep.
Is that maybe the best thing that happened to them in this series because now they wake up?
It's never a good thing to get punched in the face, right? Hey, do that again. That felt great.
No,
turn my lights out.
I'm not saying it felt great, but they won't step onto the court like that again.
Yeah, no. And for me, I can't imagine why they did in the first place. I mean, Steve Kerr said it. They came out soft. I mean, what were these guys thinking? They had been punked. Cleveland had been punked so badly and it was so embarrassing. Did they think they didn't have any pride? Did they think they weren't going to rise up and show up in their own barn? So I don't know what Golden State was thinking. It's not a series yet, but if they run that thing back on Friday night, then it will be.
What are you thinking if you are Kevin Love right now who goes, wow, in the finals, my team can only win if I'm on the bench?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's
not
good. That's not good for him. I'm not sure who that went worse for, the Warriors or Kevin Love. I mean, like, Love was not happy that the team did not clear him to play game three, and now we know why they didn't. Still no word if he's going to be ready to play tomorrow night. But when Cavs coach Ty Lue was asked if he would use him if he could play. The guy wouldn't even answer the question, which tells me that he's not going to start him. And the fact is, he really shouldn't. I mean, Love's a great player.
Wow.
But basketball, I mean, look, it's a game of matchups. And the Cavs are just a tougher matchup with Love coming off the bench. In fact, from the looks of things, they're a tougher matchup with him staying on the bench. So that sucks for him, but he's going to have to wear it.
However, that doesn't mean he wasn't useful throughout the season against other clubs to get to the finals, right? He definitely contributed to the Cavaliers' season. He's just not helping him now.
It sounds counterintuitive. I mean, he's a great player. The guy's a great player still. But again, it's just about matchups. I mean, it sounds like one of those things you just throw out about basketball. But they're just tougher to match up when he's not playing because they're not as good defensively when he is playing. And Richard Jefferson, old man Richard Jefferson, who played instead, gave this game or team tremendous fire and a great lift. They're just tougher to deal with when Love's not playing.
Do the Warriors win out?
I had them in seven before the series started, and I still think that they're in a really good spot. For instance, they didn't trip, and you guys and I talked about this. They didn't trip when they were down 3-1 to OKC, so I'm guessing they're not going to freak out up 2-1 against Cleveland. But if the Splash Brothers don't get going, they might have something to sweat, but I think they're fine. They're going to win.
I want to ask you one more question before we move on. Because the Warriors are being talked about as one of the all-time greatest ever NBA franchise teams, there are a lot of people who are picking at them, and one of them is your CBS Sports colleague, Pete Prisco. I don't know Pete, but he tweeted last night, "Warriors have nothing if jumpers aren't falling. Great when they do fall, but that's why they are not an all-time great team." Does he have a point?
Shut up, Pete.
Hey, Allie, you want to take that one for me?
Shut up, Pete.
Go ahead, Allie.
That is the dumbest take ever. That is so stupid. Everything about that is wrong.
Well, he seems to think that Golden State is winning cheap and that they can't beat teams legitimately, so they just...
Well, every other team would like to win as cheap as they
do. Of course they would.
Can I tell you about the way... And Pete Prisco's my guy. I like him a lot. I put him on the program. But keep in mind, he's a football writer.
He's a football writer.
So what's
NFL
going on here? This is another part of the hot take society, man. Get in line, punch somebody in the face. Get in line, take a bat to Golden State. Everybody wants to knock these guys down. And I don't know why. They won 73. They win the right way. They look like hell last night. They'll bounce back. They always do.
All right. Moving on. Maria Sharapova, who is the greatest tennis player in the world when it comes to looks, is now out of the game for 2 years. She claims she didn't know this product that she had been taking forever is suddenly banned. Is that any kind of an excuse for a professional athlete at her level, Jim?
Allie, do you want me to handle that, or do you want to?
Go ahead. Please, take it.
It is so insulting. So she gets suspended for 2 years for testing positive for melatonin, and she's appealing and spitting out nonsense like, I took the drug for health reasons, and I didn't open up emails, which came time after time after time again, telling me that I was not allowed to take this drug. And that whole health reasons thing, she wouldn't tell her doctors that she was taking the drug. So if you're doing it for health, wouldn't you tell your doctors what drug you're on? And one more thing, she took it for 10 years, and the manufacturer of the drug says you're supposed to take it in 4 to 6 week increments.
Wow.
And she took it for a
decade.
So you might say, well, why would she do that? Because side effects include increased endurance and energy levels. So, kids, if it looks like a PED and it acts like a PED and you slam it like it's a PED, it's a PED and you're a cheater.
2 years seems like a reasonable ban from the International Tennis Federation. Jim, you think that sounds fair?
If by two you mean 10, that'd be great. I can't even tell you. Maria, how stupid do we all look to you?
Yeah, I mean, it is insulting. It's totally insulting.
It is really insulting. This whole thing about these athletes, I've never knowingly taken an illegal drug card. You can't throw that. If you're a pro athlete, you know everything that goes into your body. Body as temple. And if you don't know, you should know. It's your job. She cheated. She got busted. She can wear that too.
People need to wear things, everybody. I will not let anyone disparage by Maria Sharapova. All right, final topic. We're talking to Jim Rome here from the Jim Rome Show, jimrome.com. It's not sports related, but Jim, you have some thoughts on Fat Axel.
Oh, man, this is so important. This is so much more important than sports.
This is the most important thing in the world.
Maybe in the entire planet and universe. You see the headline, Axl Rose demands Google take down Fat Axel memes. Look, I'm a huge GNR guy. Hell, Welcome to the Jungle has been my opening theme song forever.
True.
But dude wants to scrub the internet of his fat pics. Lots of luck with that, Stay Puffed. It's not even like they're misrepresenting or photoshopping the guy. He really did chunk up like that. So if you don't want people clowning you for it, do not hit the stage looking like Meatloaf or that dude from Blues Traveler. Pretty much every single public figure in the world wishes that there's something on the internet that was no longer there. Man, you can't lawyer up and just power wash it off.
And isn't he just drawing attention to stuff that nobody has cared about in years anyway?
Hello, hi. Allie, good answer. People wouldn't even know about it, and now everybody does. I mean, he just tipped his hand, right? I hate it that you're calling me fat. Now every single memer alive is coming for this guy. Trust me, dude, if you want to go back and erase anything, it's Chinese democracy. Until then, those fat pics are not coming down because Google has three words for you, big fella. Time for pie.
Time for pie.
If you get, you big can boy. Get 3 hours of great sports talk radio from 9 till noon at jimrome.com. It's the Jim Rome Show. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time.
Time for pie.
All right, I'm looking, I'm really looking forward to this one.
No, you are a little too much.
Well, it's just, it is wedding season, and I want to thank Kevin Bean listener Chris who wrote in and said, is it a coincidence that wedding season and hurricane season both begin in June? I think not. Both will create havoc and leave devastation and financial ruin in their wake. Bitches be crazy, man. I'm just saying. Oh, hey, Allie. That's from Chris. All right. What's the story, Allie? You brought this one to our attention about the latest bridezilla in the news.
Yeah, this is a woman. She had never been a bridesmaid before, so she wasn't quite sure what to expect. But she found it very odd when the bride told her, I'm going to need you to dye your hair before the wedding because your red hair is going to clash with my colors. And she wasn't sure, well, is that normal? So she went to Reddit. She's like, bride just asked me if I
first of all,
my hair.
I would have written back, ha, ha, ha.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way she's serious.
No way. And she was. She was dead serious and said, I'll pay for it. You can go to my hairdresser, but you're going to clash with my colors.
And it was her normal color
hair? Her normal color hair.
Wow. That is unbelievable.
Unreal, right?
That you would ask a friend of yours to dye her hair so that she doesn't clash in your photos.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. But I mean, this is the thing, and this is where the word bridezilla comes from, is that these otherwise lovely, normal women, in some cases, obviously, there are a lot of exceptions of women who are fine on their wedding day, but there are some women who just go insane trying to micromanage every single detail of the whole experience.
This bride said it was her privilege to veto how bridesmaids appeared on her day.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, my.
Okay,
wow.
So does this mean you don't invite a friend who's a bridesmaid if she's got a zit that day? Or if you've
got
one?
Well, what if she's got like a big schnoz?
Right?
Well, you don't want that in your photos.
You don't want that in your photos, right? What if she's gained a little weight? Maybe she's pregnant. You can't have a pregnant lady in your bridal party,
no.
Right?
Ugh,
that's icky. So we want to talk about
what happens to these bridezillas. What happens?
I think it's just the stress, and there's so much, and you want it to be perfect, and everything just adds up, and then you become.
But are they
insane.
Crazy people their whole lives, and it just gets amplified?
A lot of times, no.
Really?
No.
So this is a normal girl who says change the color of your hair.
It can happen to the best of them. But then there's friends that you do have that are off anyway, and you're like, oh God, I'm screwed now because it's gonna amplify by 100, and she's already at a 90.
Yeah. You sure it's not going to amplify? You sure that's not the
dare you?
We're going to take calls. We want to hear your bridezilla stories at 1-800-520-1067. If you have been a bridesmaid and have been asked to do something by the bride to be a part of that
something
wedding party.
Something stupid.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Something that you can't believe she asked. It was a bridezilla moment. And again, 1-800-520-1067. And on that topic, Allie, because you do get invited to a lot of weddings to be in a wedding, because you're the quintessential always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
I'm awesome at it.
What's the deal with, and how do you handle it when they say, we want you to be in our wedding? It's important to us as a close friend that you're there, but it's in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Now, are you on the hook
to fly yourself to Hawaii
yeah.
to go to their wedding?
You're not only on the hook for that, you're usually on the hook for many days prior because you've got to do the bridal shower, you've got to do the bachelorette party, you've got to do the rehearsal dinner. So what could be a long weekend in Hawaii
right.
will turn into a week in Hawaii.
But
and Hawaii is not even the big deal. It's the Balis, the Bahamas, the Dominican Republic. People are going so overboard nowadays with weddings, and it's this weird sense of entitlement.
But don't they say, hey, this is, I know this is crazy,
mm-hmm.
but we're going this far for our wedding, and it'd be
right.
great if you could go, but we completely understand if you can't.
They should.
They don't say
if
that.
If it's a good friend of yours, it's just expected for you to go, which I think is a weird entitlement thing anyway. If you're going to a far-off destination, make it small, make it special with just maybe you and your family or just the two of you. Don't put people out like that. It's crazy.
Kevin, isn't that what you did? Private wedding
yes.
away and then big party for everyone
yep.
when you got back,
yep,
right?
That's
yep,
great.
Yep. 100% the way to go because
yeah.
there's no pressure now to go be with you for the thing, but you still get to celebrate and be with you to sell, you know, when you come back.
Plus, it wasn't legal, so I have that for going for me.
Ali, can you think of anything else before we go to the phones? Anything else that a bride has asked you that you kind of raised your eyebrows at?
No, just the normal.
How about the dresses?
Stuff.
Are they awful and expensive?
They've gotten a lot better. But
have they?
But they are pretty expensive. And the whole, you can wear it again. Shut up. No, you can't. You never will. But I have always had a bride ask you to wear your hair a specific way. If it's an updo.
Oh, is that right?
That type of thing. They usually want your fingernails all to match. So get a French tip. Get something like that. I've
really?
Had
that's
that
normal?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I thought a French tip was a sex move. It shows how out of line I am. All right, let's go to Ashley. And, of course, her name's Ashley, and she's in Huntington Beach. And, of course, she's in Huntington Beach. And find out about her bridezilla story. Ashley, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. I was in my little brother's wedding about 3 years ago, and his bride-to-be didn't really have a lot of friends. So she asked me and all my sisters, there's three of us, to be in her wedding with her on her side that big day. And of course,
okay.
she said yes to my brother's wedding.
Right.
She asked us to buy a $150 dress that we could never wear again. She asked us to buy us all the exact same shoes, mm-hmm. Except my tallest sister, who had to wear flats, so she wasn't taller than the bride.
That's good, right?
And, well, yeah. And then she said nobody can change their hair color. No one can cut their hair. No one can get a piercing or a tattoo before the wedding, which was a year and a half away.
Oh, I hope you tatted your face
right?
up.
Right? Just get the full Mike Tyson.
My little sister got a tattoo she'd been planning on for about 2 years, and she did it anyways because she saved the money, and it was her body, and
yeah.
my sister-in-law kicked her out of the wedding.
Oh, she's so lucky. It sounds like she's the luckiest one.
I know, right?
But Ashley, here's the thing. Here's the disconnect for me, and maybe this is just obvious, but let me say it out loud anyway, which is this bride that you're describing did not want friends in the wedding. She wanted props in the wedding,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, no. She didn't have friends.
Yeah.
Well, and we see why.
Wasn't that a red flag for your brother?
Obviously not. I mean, he married her.
So. Are they still married?
Oh, yeah, they're still married. They have the most adorable little boy in the whole world. So.
All right. Well, something good came out of it. Thank you very much
yeah.
for the call, Ashley. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be fun. We want to hear your bridezilla stories next on K-Rock. Talking about bridezilla demands of the bridesmaids this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Allie brought in a story about a first-time bridesmaid who was asked to dye her hair from its regular color because the bride thought it would clash with other things that are going on in the wedding.
Don't you at that point go, you know what, I'm busy that day.
Yeah, it's too much.
I think a lot of people feel like they kind of owe it to their friends to be there on their wedding
right,
day.
Right, to be there.
And a lot of brides feel like they own those people up until the wedding.
Yes, they do.
That's crazy.
Nicole writes in, this is the worst part, is the bachelorette weekends. It's no longer mm-hmm. a night out. It's full weekends for bachelorette parties. Travel expenses in addition to the wedding expenses, plus their showers and extras. It is never, ever ending. It's almost like you can't afford to be in a wedding anymore.
Oh, no, you can't afford to be in a wedding anymore.
Justin writes in, when my sister got married, she had my wife get a $300 dress. It had to be custom tailored online. They only asked for the woman's height and weight. When all the dresses showed up, none of them fit.
Oof.
One bridesmaid was pregnant, one had just given birth, one was very flat-chested, and one was very large-chested. And all they had asked was height and weight. So then they all needed emergency trips to the tailors for another another $150 each, so the dresses were able to fit with just a few hours to spare. Yeah, that is not good planning. All right, we're taking some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Woodland Hills. Let's talk to the lovely Jennifer on line six, please.
All right. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. I've had so many. I mean, I was just one of those easy brides. I guess I'm rare. I didn't realize that everyone says I was just so easygoing.
You didn't really realize how much you could get away with as a bride?
No, I guess I missed my opportunity. But I have my sister in New York, and she was having her wedding. Like, she was marrying a big finance guy, and they were having it at someone's house, this massive house. And I fly in. I have two little kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. My daughter is the flower girl. And we fly in, and once we got there, she says to my mom, "Hey, you didn't tell her that the kids can't be at the party?" And I said, "What are you talking about? You know, my son had a tux. My daughter is the flower girl." And she said, "No, we don't want them at the party. We don't want them to ruin the party. I don't like how kids take over the reception."
Oh, God.
Wow. And you said, "Have fun at your wedding."
I was. Well, we had flown in from across the country.
Still?
So I spent like $3,000 flying in. Not a place to stay. And then she decided she didn't want them at the actual party. They were there for pictures. And she was the flower girl. I said, "Oh, so she's like the Sammy Davis Jr. of the wedding. She's allowed to play, but she can't attend."
That's a great reference.
About her 5-year-old kid. That's amazing.
That's a great reference.
Also, she's Sammy Davis Jr.
All right. Yeah. So, real quick, how was it resolved, if it was?
Well, I mean, everybody agreed she was a nightmare. And, you know, it's just one of those sore spots that we try not to talk about.
Oh, I would have my kids just run in halfway through the reception.
Singing Candyman.
With stuff all...
with throwing stuff. Their glass eye all around the room.
Yeah, and whenever they were, she wanted us to leave. And we ended up having to hire, like, two babysitters from, like, a friend of a friend of hers.
You did the wrong thing. You eat that $3,000 and you fly right back home.
What a mess. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling. We enjoyed it. Let's talk to David. Line 7, please. He's in Downey. Up next, talking bridezillas on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, David.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
I'm surprised to hear from a dude. What's your info on this story?
So the bride was my best friend through college. We actually went through grad school together, and she was getting married to another of my best friends.
All right.
So I decided to plan the bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
So bachelor party was in Vegas. I took the groom to several places of
ill repute.
Right.
Several places that are appropriate for a bachelor party in Las Vegas.
Right.
All right.
Yes. And there were certain rules that the bride laid out, and we followed those rules. And then the second night of the bachelor party, he decided to sneak off with two or three other groomsmen, and they kind of broke those rules.
Right. Really?
Yeah. And then
what was the bride's reaction? She loved it. She was very understanding.
Yeah, very happy.
Very understanding. So understanding, she kicked me out of the wedding.
Oh. So you took her husband-to-be to Las Vegas, but because he broke the rules, not even with you, you got kicked out of the wedding.
Yeah. Oh,
sounds like you're the lucky one.
Yeah, and I still had an invitation to the wedding. And then the day before the wedding was going to happen, the groom called me up and he told me I wasn't even invited to the wedding.
Oh, I would have loved to have heard that conversation.
Right.
Hey, Dave, you know how we had a great time in Las Vegas? Well, we won't be seeing each other anymore. Were you bummed out, or were you kind of relieved to not be a part of that?
I was relieved. It kind of broke up our circle of friends. There's like maybe 12 of us that don't talk to that couple anymore.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That's ugly. All right. Great call. Thank you so much, David. And finally, Darth writes in, "Guys, maybe this is what you're talking about. The bride started bawling because we brought her the wrong green tea before the wedding. She had to redo her makeup and take a Xanax."
Oh, my Lord.
Well, you don't want us bringing the wrong green tea. Come on.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
I have to tell you guys that you are some crazy cats. And it's super hip to be here with you guys, and I sincerely mean that.
Thank you, Sammy Davis Jr., for stopping by. We appreciate it. Hey, two of the best bits.
Take tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Sammy.
Wrap it in a dream.
We're going to let you go. Give our best to Frank. Two of the best bands on the road today, Weezer and Panic at the Disco, are combining their forces for one great show together at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August the 6th. And you're eligible for the grand prize ring when you win those tickets of Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo. All of that is coming up in about 5 minutes.
The Candyman can.
First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
The Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Yeah!
And I mean that, man, sincerely. I was saying to Alta Vista the other night...
How often do I get a chance to break out my Sammy? Come on.
Seldom.
Right?
You can thank but Jennifer for that.
But
Jennifer,
too often.
Jennifer brought it.
As well.
Too often? Maybe the first time I've ever done it.
He just said never and maybe too
often. A lot of good things do happen after 2 a.m.
It is weird, and I would have loved to have seen the look on the bride's face when Jennifer yelled at her, "Why are you cheating my kid like Sammy?"
See, Kevin, because Sammy...
I don't get it.
Sammy was able to play
right. The
casinos in Vegas,
uh-huh.
But he couldn't stay at the hotels where he was playing in the showrooms.
I'll have to look that up. I'm not clear on what's happening. Yeah. It's my bad.
Susan Sarandon, they would like the world to know she's not Sigourney Weaver.
Okay. Right. Is that an issue?
Next story. Tila Tequila has apparently done it again. No, the reason I said that is Susan Sarandon says she is constantly stopped by people who say how good she was in Alien.
I bet there are a lot of celebrities who frequently get mistaken for other celebrities that they look like.
Sure.
I don't think Susan Sarandon even looks that much like Sigourney Weaver.
I don't see that either. I don't see that one myself.
I think it's just dumb people who
you had a story a couple weeks ago about Helen Hunt being mistaken for Jodie Foster at Starbucks. Yeah. I don't see that one
right
either. But
look, if you say, I know that person, then maybe if you're not sure or you can't do a little research, you can't pull out your smartphone and Google something, maybe just let it go. Maybe don't go up and ask, say, I loved you in Alien. And you were great in Ghostbusters. Can I have your autograph, please?
Right.
Maybe just double check. Just saying.
It's a good tip.
Thanks.
I once did that to Timothy Hutton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Hutton from Ordinary People, Timothy Hutton?
Yeah.
From most recently American Crime Story?
Yeah.
Can I guess who you mistook him for?
Sure can.
Tom Berenger?
Nope.
Oh,
that's okay. That's Bill Cosby?
No. Close.
Sinead O'Connor?
No. Really?
Lawrence Luckinbill?
What's happening?
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Bean, did you have a guess?
Bean hasn't guessed yet.
No, it's because I just went Ralph to go all day long. The person that I was thinking of is... Tim Matheson. Tim Matheson is who he looks like to me, Tim Hutton.
Nope.
Okay.
Andrew McCarthy.
Oh, I see that. I can see that.
Oh, yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, I can see that.
No one can see that.
Yes, yeah. That totally makes sense.
Was it a Kings game in the 80s in the Forum Club?
DJ Qualls.
No.
Stephen Hawking.
No. I also did it to Jeff Goldblum, and it was a bad one. And I would guarantee if he were to walk in right now, he would remember it because he was so pissed and so disgusted with me.
Gary Coleman?
You thought he was Joe Pesci.
Nope. I said to him...
Angela Bassett.
Can you do that thing at the end of the show when you say, du-du-du-du-du?
You thought he was Bowser from Sha-Na-Na?
I sure did.
Wow. You're the worst at this game ever.
Not only that, but you asked him to recreate that part?
I did.
I hope I'm never in a lineup. Charged for some crime, and Allie's the one behind the one-way glass.
I don't know. They all look the same to me.
Yeah, I think him. I think he was the bank robber.
I also told David Crosby's wife on a flight how cool it was that she was married to Gallagher.
Wow, you're not good. You should do less. Just in general.
Do you have that
facial
neurological?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
neurological
like.
Neurological condition we can't recognize faces.
Oh, David Crosby's wife thought it was the funniest thing she's ever heard.
The only thing they have in common is they both have mustaches.
I was like at 7. I didn't know.
Allie has no friends.
That's why.
No. I never recognized.
No, you go up to your friends and you think,
"What's your name?
Hey, are you the postman? Aren't you the guy who delivers my mail?" No, we went to high school together. Oh, is this fun?
Allie, do you, when you walk in the mornings and we start showing up, do you recognize us?
Or no, are you just faking it? No, I post it, so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You just know where we are. Like, if we were to all switch positions in the room, you'd be really
screwed.
Confused.
Yeah, I just, spatially, I know where you are.
All right. Wow. We've learned a little something about the girl today.
So, Axl Rose doesn't want pictures of him fat online, right?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's his thing.
Who knew?
Maybe you should focus less on that and less on the good news. Like Axl says, the original lineup of the band is working on new music.
No kidding.
Yeah, he says the band's working on new stuff that Slash and Duff really like the stuff they're working on. He's thrilled with it as well. So we can look for new Guns N' Roses music sometime about 30 years from now. When that's usually their pace on making an album. So sometime... I'd say 2050, 2051, something in there we'll probably
mark my calendar.
We'll get a new one from them. Axl also said regarding his fill-in gig for Brian Johnson as singer of AC/DC, he said, I feel very protective of this job because I do not want to let this guy down more than anybody I've ever met. He said he's taking it very seriously and he hopes the fans are enjoying.
He has been getting high marks for those shows.
Apparently he is definitely taking it seriously and he's working real hard and he's slimmed down and he's worked out and broke a foot for them.
So, right.
What the hell? Oxygen Cable Network is still on.
That's still
the
a
air.
Thing?
Yes. They just released their new fall schedule. And they got some shows. I might start watching Oxygen.
This is the Oprah Winfrey channel? Or no?
I think it was.
I think it used to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Last Squad Standing, where three groups of friends are put together in a house and they have to compete against each other. That's fresh. I like
that. Nope.
How about Battle of the Ex-Besties?
Nope.
What? Which ex...
What? Come on.
What is that show?
You can do it, Ralph.
Battle of the Ex-Besties is the name of an actual show where friends who have had fallings out...
Yeah, whichever one's correct.
Are secretly paired together to participate in challenges to see if they can get back together to win a grand prize.
You're making that up, though. That's you being funny.
No, that's a thing. They're just throwing stuff against the wall now, right? That can't be. It can't be for Battle of the Ex-Besties.
No, it can't be.
That should be on CISO. That should be one of those parody shows, not a real show.
Anyway, I'm just going to say it, and I know this may not be popular, but I'm just going to say I miss Knock Knock Live.
Don't we all? That was the golden, right? That was the golden age.
Those were the good old days, those 2 days that it was on.
God, was that a great show.
Now we're going to Chicago. What do you got there? I'm going to knock on this guy's door and ask him a question, Ryan. Okay, go for it.
Do you guys remember during, I forget what sporting event it was, they kept doing teases to explain to us what Knock Knock Live is?
Yes.
So bad.
Here's what we do. Then they knock. You go, yeah, you know what? Got that from the title. Really don't
now
need
we
an
ask
explanation.
A question for a prize.
That was on TV.
And all the families would act, they were like Taylor Swifted up. What? Trying to breathe. Whoa, what are these cameras doing here? And they're all dressed up, they got makeup on and everything.
Right. They pretend that they're just being randomly surprised at home.
Stop it. It's the cash cannon. We're going to shoot cash in the air and you got to grab it when your cul-de-sac.
That's right. They did do that.
And it didn't go off on time.
That show.
And all the neighbors come out of their houses crawling around on their hands and knees.
Yeah. You can see it because it's HD television. You can see it's like Monopoly money. It's not even real cash.
That's a shame that didn't make it.
Ah, they should all burn in hell.
Or that.
Everyone involved in that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Johnny Depp's 53. Michael J. Fox is 55. Matt Bellamy's 38 years old. Singer and guitarist for Muse. Mae Whitman is 28 years old. And Natalie Portman is 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tiffany Fraser, Long Beach, thanks so much for listening. You're going to see Weezer and Panic at the Disco, Irvine Meadows on August 6th. Eligible for the grand prize drawing. We'll do Monday to send you to see those bands and more at Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo. Kat Corbett has another chance for you to win at noon. Not you, Tiffany, but everybody else at noon. Get the details at KRock.com. All right, when we saw the results of Prince's autopsy last week, we saw a word that I was not very familiar with called fentanyl.
Dr. Drew Pinsky, it turns out, has been talking about fentanyl for a long, long time, and he joins us on the Kevin Beach Show for his weekly visit right now. Hey, Doc.
Hey, here we are.
I know that fentanyl is just part of a much larger conversation you've been having with your radio and TV audiences for years about the abuse and constant overdoses of opioids, but fentanyl is a whole different thing, right? I mean, this is as good as it gets for pain management.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna talk about fentanyl, but I want people first to just kind of remember that it doesn't matter what the opiate is you've overdosed on; it's all the same. Or whichever opiate you get addicted to, or whatever your opiate of choice is, it really just differing pharmacology. It's all the same system that gets usurped in opiate addiction. Fentanyl has been around for a long time. It's a synthetic opiate. It's used in cancer pain and end of life. For a young, healthy male to be using fentanyl is bizarre. You really should never have been on that medication. But if there were an opiate that you could more easily overdose on, that's the one. It's kind of hard to overdose on opiates unless you add in a benzodiazepine, a sleeping medicine, or anxiety medicine. And I'm still convinced. You know, we never got the complete toxicology report on Prince.
Why is that?
Apparently, that's the law in Minnesota. They don't release it. They don't have to release it.
Oh.
So we're never going to hear it. All we heard was fentanyl toxicity. Now, I'm convinced that there also was still a benzo on board because the guy was so intoxicated, he fell down in an elevator, couldn't get up, and stopped breathing. I mean, that's a lot of medication.
Right.
But they do say fentanyl toxicity. So you have to kind of read between the lines. To get enough fentanyl into your system that you develop toxic levels, that's a hard thing to do. It's only really distributed commonly through either, believe it or not, gentlemen, a lollipop that you suck on. Yes, that's the way you get fentanyl. Or a patch that you wear, a three-day patch that you wear across 3 days. Now, my patients, when they want to get high from fentanyl, they just open up those patches and they suck them down orally or they shoot them.
Wow.
So you got to wonder, there is one other means of delivery that's becoming more widespread now, which is a sublingual or buccal form, which is sort of another sort of lozenge. But even that's hard to overdose on this stuff. You've got to wonder what he was doing to take such high levels.
Could you possibly be wearing more than one patch?
Yeah, but even that, it's hard to get toxic levels in. You know, it's enough that you suddenly stop breathing. I think, you know, my patients, when they really get going, they open those patches up and start sucking it in.
Wow.
You got to wonder if something like that was happening.
Do you question, and again, we're just speculating here, there's a lot of details we don't know, but do you question why a doctor would even prescribe fentanyl to Prince?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to me, a young, healthy male on sufficient fentanyl to develop toxicity is as bizarre as a young, healthy male being given propofol, if you know what I mean.
Right,
so
right.
This is the same thing. Now, what we're hearing, though, about Prince is that they can't seem to come up with who prescribed. Yeah, I think, I have no evidence for this yet, but I'm suspicious that people around him were getting it filled with their names, and then he was getting it that way. But he could have gotten it off the street. It's possible.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that, too, because apparently there's been a tremendous uptick in recent years of people who are illegally making some sort of bootleg fentanyl, right?
Well, yeah, or they're getting it from other places. And
want is the bootleg one, right?
I don't think so.
The good one, right. And what they've been complexing it in with heroin. And people don't, they sell it as heroin sometimes, and so people don't, it's so much more powerful than heroin, people can overdose more easily on it. And the bootleg one has different congeners, so you find different metabolites, but they're not giving us that information either in the Prince report.
Hundreds of people have died in fentanyl-related overdoses in the last couple of years. Hundreds of people.
Well, let's remind ourselves, I think I said this a couple weeks ago on the show, we represent 5% of the population on the world's globe, and we consume 80% of the opiates.
Wow.
You don't think there's a problem here?
Wow.
USA!
No,
USA!
That's not something to be proud of, Kevin.
All right, so Dr. Drew, what about all of these hundreds of patients who will get a prescription for fentanyl today from their doctors? What's the problem? If what you're saying is so widely known in the medical community, why are so many people continuing to prescribe it?
Well, it's not a dangerous medicine properly prescribed. It's just disabling. And if you have cancer or you're at the end of life, this will significantly alleviate suffering. So, again, get out of your head the idea that it's a bad medicine. It's a bad medicine in certain contexts. You know, again, it's all about the context and the relationship. Chemicals are just chemicals, and how we relate to them is really what is at issue. Now, the excessive enthusiasm with using opiates for chronic pain is a gigantic topic. I'm not sure I want to – let me just tiptoe into it a little bit except to say that there is no scientific evidence, underline, no scientific evidence that opioid use is a effective treatment for chronic pain, and yet it's prescribed all the time. At the end of my, when I was running a treatment program, just before I stopped, like the last 5 years, this is maybe 2005, 2010, one of the reasons I stopped, I got burned out. All I was doing was taking chronic pain patients off opiates, and all of them had had marked improvement in their pain on no other medicine than just taking them off the opiate.
You and I had a conversation, Dr. Drew, last year, I think it was, when 60 Minutes had run a piece that was really eye-opening for me on heroin addicts. And almost to a person, they started off with opioids and got addicted to, and then looked for something stronger and stronger. And they talked to healthcare professional after healthcare professional who said, we're the problem. Starting back in the 1980s, we started to overprescribe to yep. all the patients all the time, and this is the result.
Well, I've been singing that tune for 20 years. And the bigger issue now, look, so we now there's growing awareness. It seems to have peaked. It seems to be a downturn recently. So, okay, doctors are starting to understand that they've got a problem here. But instead of bringing the patients in and saying, geez, I'm really sorry, we've got a second problem. Neither of us intended for this to happen, but we need to treat this other problem that we've triggered. It's called addiction. That's not how they do it. They cut the patient off and go, you're a bad patient. You're a criminal. Get out of here. Well, now guess what? That patient that was taking pills is going to the street. They're an addict. They have to. They're going to go to heroin.
Thanks, Obama, right?
That's what we're saying?
All right, Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. on 790 KABC. Of course, Dr. Drew on HLN every Monday through Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. and drdrew.com for the fine family of Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla podcast as well. Have a great week, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
See you then.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:35.
I think we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat now with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Well, the wait is over. Let me read to you from the official press release. After months of speculation, the wait is finally over. We're happy to announce that Barbara Palvin is the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Rookie of the Year. Congratulations, Barbara.
I don't know. Oh. Palver?
Palvin.
Palvin?
Barbara faced some fierce competition, Kevin.
I don't know if you can hear, but Bean is typing like a madman right now.
Not with his hands.
I was looking for this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure you
because
were.
Because of how, sure, how splendidly that news right. was received, apparently.
Right. Come on, all the fierce competition she faced?
I didn't know.
Ashley Graham and Sophia Ressing and Tanya Mitsuyoshina?
And she's
Bo
what
Chris
now?
Manovic.
What did she win again?
She's the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Rookie of the Year.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to need to do some research on that story a little later.
I'm doing it right now, and she deserved it.
One responder to the news said, it's a five-way tie between all the candidates. There's way too much extreme hottage to make a decision.
Which bro said that?
You get it, man. You know wow. what she had to go through to become Swimsuit Rookie of the Year?
I don't.
She had to put on a swimsuit?
She fought all the other girls. And they
I don't
were,
think they fight.
They did. They had some, like bike chains and there was like a big brawl.
I don't think they fight at all.
Speaking of brawls, breaking news. I think we have a breaking news bulletin, Bean.
Oh, very exciting.
Yes, we sure
breaking,
do.
I have breaking news.
And now a breaking news bulletin.
If you want to see Justin Bieber throw girl punches, there's video up over at TMZ.
Oh, yes.
Apparently he got into a fight in Cleveland last night, so I just wanted to give TMZ a shout out. They have the footage, exclusive footage, of Bieber punching like Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons before he gets wrestled to the ground. Simpson, eh?
He's a lightweight Canadian. We're not surprised by that, but why is he fighting with somebody? Is this another paparazzi scuffle or
no,
a fan or a bar
it's
or
a
what?
Beef. There was a beef. There was a scrap and a beef and a brouhaha.
All right.
Wow, sounds exciting.
Yeah. Dave said, well, do you want the story? I said, there's no story.
There's no story there.
There's just a video of him going, Smithers, bring the car around.
It's probably his fault too, whatever, right?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm just sad that he got wrestled to the ground before somebody could step in and explain things to him.
All right, I have a serious question here. Is he a guy who is just can't stay out of trouble because he's a bad person? Or is his life so... Does he have so many things thrown up at him in the course of going around day to day that it's any of us would eventually snap?
Repeat the question, please.
Yes. I lost about halfway through. I need some of the Red Bull that I was drinking.
Is he a dick who just continues to make bad choices? Or is he living a life where he has thousands of people mobbing him all the time, and it would be inevitable if the same thing happened to you, same thing happened to me, is eventually we would just punch you because there's always people coming at you.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
All right, I would throw the question.
This happened at a nightclub.
I would guess there's enough people that coming up to you that it's bound to happen at some point.
And especially certain
plus
people
he's a douchebag
are targets too,
yeah, right?
Because they're douchebags,
right?
But if you put yourself in nightclubs and look, this is a guy who burned his own friend with a cigarette up on the DJ stage. I mean, this guy's not keeping a low profile.
No,
he's behind the VIP rope, just enjoying himself with his friends. He's out there douching it up.
Yeah. Agreed.
And you're going to rile somebody. Stop your douching. Right?
Good advice.
I think so.
It's not healthy to do all the time.
I'm sorry about that noise earlier. I hit the
wrong
button.
What was that noise?
What was that?
I didn't know what that was.
I was trying to cough.
It sounded like a barnyard animal.
Let me show you. This is the cough button.
Okay.
See, I pressed that when I cough.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it's right next to this button.
What is that?
Why is that noise on there?
Do I have that?
What?
I don't think you do.
How do you do it? Do it again.
All right, once again, this is the cough button.
Right? Turns off your mic.
Turns off my mic so I can cough, right?
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, it's next to this button. And this is what happens when I cough and I press this button.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why there's a button that makes my voice do this.
Oh. That's a, oh my! I think I have it.
You press and see what happens.
I'm pretty sure I have it too. Oh my god! I sounded terrible.
Wait, do I have one?
Where did all this new technology come from?
Why don't I have one?
How come I don't have one? Who needs it more than me?
No one. What voices do you ever do?
All.
Uh huh.
All the good ones.
Why would something like that be installed?
And
no one would tell us.
That's
I've never noticed that.
But
it's
I was just
right
reaching
there.
For the cough button. This happening, the microphone's cutting off like that.
Right.
After that,
this was happening. I hit the button and then this sound came out, and that's why the noise was when I tried to cough.
That's the best. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I never like that.
Why does this?
Why is mine so high though?
Well, I think maybe because your voice is higher.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a real question?
Wow. What a brain trust in this room.
So we have a voice changer that we're not aware of.
Apparently.
Huh.
Well, it won't be annoying at all if we start overusing it.
You're already sick of it.
Old man Bean is tired of
Jesus,
it.
Jesus,
what a risk. You had fun for 1 second, and then the next thing, you have to poop all over it. Fun pooper.
Look, you know how I get pre-sad, you guys. It's fine today. It's fine. We're all having a good time.
No, you're not. That's
no, we were having a good time.
The key here is that you hate this.
You're pretty annoyed.
No, in my mind, I'm thinking about a month down the road I'm going to feel like we're suffering because that goddamn voice changer is still in the studio.
I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that right now, though. How's that happening?
I'm pressing it for you.
Wait, you can press the button and then it works on my microphone? This is the best thing ever.
All right, okay. Allie has to stop using it.
Who could be tired of that?
Now I'm being on Allie's mic already. Yeah, but that thing came out of you, whatever that sound was. Oh, now it's working up. See, now it's picking up what's bleeding over into her mic.
Oh, I see. So my mic and your mic. Yeah. Turn it off for 1 second. So my mic is working and it's going through
exactly,
her mic.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. That's not annoying. I'm happy to know that.
Are you guys really happy with where this bit's going?
No.
Really.
Sorry. So, Bieber.
Yeah, anyway, if you want to see the footage, it's all on TMZ. That's the whole point. Donald Trump's in trouble. Apparently, he came out on stage after winning the last round of Republican primaries on Tuesday to Queens, "We are the champions." Well, Queen didn't like that. He should just have like a...
What a surprise.
Just a playlist on shuffle so he can just play a different song every time because no one's happy when he uses their music.
Why doesn't he just go to the people, the celebrities who are outspoken for him?
That's true.
Ted Nugent of the world and people like that.
Well, how often do you walk on stage to Cat Scratch Fever?
Nobody wants to hear that.
That's not exactly a rousing victory song.
All right.
Some solo tune by Chachi. Best.
Brian, he should use the voice changer. That's what should happen.
That's right.
All of his speeches would be interesting.
I'm going to build a wall around Mexico.
And Mexico's going to pay for it.
I'm back.
That would liven up his speeches a little bit.
Middle of every conversation. Brian May said the permission to use the track was neither sought nor given, and I will make sure we take what steps we can to disassociate ourselves from Donald Trump's unsavory campaign.
I bet this really rallied the troops.
Tempo. Tempo, Wing.
She's on it.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
Sounds like she's using that voice changer.
Big finish. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Donald Trump to the stage.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's not a rouser, is it? Speaking of Trump, did you see many of his followers were posting a photograph of an attractive young blonde woman who was a Trump supporter who had been a victim of violence at a rally?
I did not see that.
Yes.
For laughing. You'll know why in a second.
Her scalp was bloodied. Her eye, obviously, had been hit and was swollen. And it was really just a despicable...
Well, it's the goddamn liberals who aren't allowing Trump supporters their freedom of speech, freedom to peaceably assemble.
This poor girl spoke up and then got beaten severely, and obviously she was injured, and everyone was very disgusted at the reprehensible behavior of some of these people who would do this, just a woman who just supports Donald Trump. That was until actor Bruce Campbell yesterday finally had to go on Twitter and say, "That was a makeup test for an actress who was going to be on Ash versus the Evil Dead."
Is that right?
That's what that photograph is. It's not anyone from any rally anywhere. It was a makeup test, and someone just picked it up offline and started using it, and it started traveling through the interwebs.
Wrong.
So be careful, people. Be careful out there, because there's a lot of false information.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I approve that message.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 55 years old today.
We're screwed.
How have we worked this long in this room without knowing that?
I have no idea.
I feel like it's new, because mine literally says voice change there.
And it didn't
before? No.
Well, I never looked before. I would always just put. I would just reach over this button to turn my mic off so I could cough. And I just hit the wrong button. It was just a happy accident.
Huh.
I feel like Louis Pasteur or someone.
Oh, the Mexican food?
What?
Oh, Pasteur.
No, I feel like...
Stop
it. I feel like an inventor who just, accidentally just had some great discovery following my
Mexican
lap.
Food?
You can say it as much as you like, but it doesn't make any sense to anyone.
What's happening?
What does Louis Pasteur do with Mexican food?
Nothing.
Louis Pasteur invented pasteurization.
Oh. And Mexican food, apparently.
Tacos al pastor is a really good dish.
Wow.
You guys aren't Mexican like me. You don't know.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here, right? Because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
That's true. That's true. We're sorry.
This showbiz beat is just...
That's our bad.
Well, I can't believe it's not Friday.
Johnny Depp's 53, Matt Bellamy, singer.
Just let your love know, like a mountain stream.
No. That's the Bellamy brothers.
Right.
From 1974.
Right, you said...
No. Matt Bellamy is the singer-guitarist for Muse, a different musical act.
That's not... The same.
He's 38 years old today. Mae Whitman is 28 years old today. And Natalie Portman turns 35 today. I wonder how Natalie Portman spends her day.
We're sitting here today with film star Natalie Portman.
Hello.
So, Natalie, what's a day in the life of Natalie Portman like?
Do you really want to know?
Please, tell us.
I don't sleep, mother off that yak and that Durbin. Doing 120, getting hit while I'm swerving.
Damn, Natalie, you a crazy chick.
You shut the up and suck my I'm busting dudes' mouths like gushes, mother. Roll up on NBC.
Come on.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
It's Lonely Island with her.
I miss Chris Parnell.
He's great.
Is that the guy, interviewer
the
guy?
In the beginning of that sketch. Okay. He was always so good in
You miss him.
I miss him on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Yeah. He was always great. Never acted like he was in a sketch. Just played characters. Kenan Thompson. Mm. And
do it again.
Kenan Thompson. And he just was always great on that show. You know him also from Anchorman. He played one of the guys on the floor.
Yeah, I know what he looks like from this video, but I don't remember him in Anchorman.
What
he was
say,
Dr. Spaceman, remember, on 30 Rock,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Dr. Spaceman.
Sure.
Dr. Spaceman.
Right.
Like, oh, you broke my heart, Ron Burgundy, or something he says.
Your poop mouth.
Your poop mouth. Yeah. He's great. That's it. I'm done.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 o'clock hour on the world-famous K-Rock. This is a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Dave Koechner in studio.
Speaking of Anchorman.
Right.
What a coincidence.
What was his name? Chance?
Champ Bailey.
It's close enough for me, though, right?
It really is.
For you. Yeah.
Judd M. Chu, who is the director of Now You See Me 2 on the program tomorrow. We've got a brand-new internet roundup. We've got Movie Beat, and we've got Stephen Amell. Who, of course, is the Green Arrow and is also in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.